Welcome to the Tech Flash. If you're looking to increase your EdTech knowledge that's quick and easy to listen to, you have come to the right place. Let's join our host, Josh, and see what today's episode is all about.
Hello and welcome to the Tech Flush. Listen, again, I'm glad you're back. I hope you really enjoyed episode 81 and this new quick little format. I hope you're finding that very useful to really get that one idea to use tomorrow. Because let's be real, we don't need a bunch of new ideas. We need things that actually work. And so for the Tech Flush, in the next 15 or so minutes, we're going to build something special that you can use tomorrow. So let's get diving in. Now, listen, we're back. We've got Michael Wesley back with us, a instructional technology specialist out of Virginia Beach. So I'm excited you're here, Michael. And again, before we get diving in, it was so interesting how we kind of connected. You know, I went to a session with you and Farmer Fobbs, App Smashing at TCA this year. And then I've been diving into some podcasting content, trying to change the game up. And here we are. So it's really special that we've been connected here.
Hey, glad to be here, Josh.
All right. Now, listen, for when we start having this conversation, Michael, I know this is something that we continue to talk about, but today I want to talk about writing. I'm going to say this, and I don't know how you're going to take it, but why do so many students just kind of hate this? And maybe they don't hate writing, but maybe they hate the process. So what's the real issue here with writing?
I've got the answer, Josh. Let me tell you, I've been a second grade teacher. I was in the classroom with second graders for 16 years, and I mastered the art of writing, and I've leveled it up since I left the classroom and became an instructional technology specialist. So why do kids hate writing? Well, let's think about that. You know, kids are given an assignment and they're writing, and sometimes they just have to face the blank page. And that's a big thing right there. If you come up with a creative topic for them to write about, it's a little less of an issue, but let's think of what the reward is. These kids are growing up in the gamified world, and the reward for, you know, putting your heart out on a piece of paper is that you get to edit it and make it better. And squeeze all those edits in between the lines, and the teacher helps you. They squeeze it, and if you forget to skip lines, it's let me tell you the joy that brings. So once you're done with all of that, and you've edited it, and you've probably gone through the process three times, the reward for students is they get to copy it over for a final draft. Now, what kid ever is going to think that is the best thing since sliced bread? None. Now, you're right.
Oh, gosh. I was not ready for that.
Well, yeah, it's the truth.
And that's such a like a very unique thing that they're excited about that one process. And so maybe as we continue to write and continue for them to do that, and that's just something we need to look at. So when did you first realize that you need to make that simple of a change?
Well, that was easy because as a second grade teacher, and I'm trying to grade these children on their ability to write. And when you have nothing on a piece of paper, you can't grade that. And you have to create more time. What's the one thing teachers don't have in a day is more time. But in order to get that, you have to give more time to the writing project or allow them to squeeze more time in at the end of the day, the beginning of the day, the middle of the day, somewhere where they can give you some kind of an output that you can assess. So you're fighting all the time. You're fighting them to write all the time. And if they're struggling writers anyway, that whole process, that's not any fun. It doesn't bring them joy. And that was a pain point for me to have to figure out how to get more time in my day to help these kids. So I started to think, how can I change the game and the way it's done?
Speaking of changing the game, what is something that you've done to really change that game for writing? I know there's lots of options out there, but what is something that you've done personally that's changed that?
Okay, I'm going to give you a little side story first because I started like 15, 16 years ago. And this is the time of, you know, going back when teachers had one cart of laptops for a grade level that batteries never held any charge. So I Tim Allen'd a power strip down the middle of a pod of desks. I put those 8 laptops out of the cart up into that. And what I did was I went into Padlet and I wrote a story starter with an image in Padlet. And this was before AI. And the kids could see that. And it was like, write a story about a fish that comes up on the side of the pond and talks to you. Well, they each would start in a Padlet and then they would be writing. So you could, every child could see what every other child is writing. And they were writing me, like, if you were to put it into paper or on paper, it probably would have been 7 or 8 pieces of the green lined paper. So that's, I don't even know if that's in classrooms anymore still.
I don't think so. I haven't seen that in a long time.
I know. I think it's still around. But anyway, they would write more on the screen because they could see their friends and what they're writing. It was a little bit of a competition, I guess, in a way. But when they wrote it, I could just highlight it and then copy and paste it into a document and print it out and then show them the edits that and talk about what they wrote. And then give that back to them and they could go back and make the edits quickly. It wasn't painful for them. And it's like, once I saw that this was enjoyable and not painful, this was kind of like where I started. And, you know, that we continue to do that. When I really had a big aha moment is when I was just, you know, not helping them, but monitoring the room. And one kid leaned over and he said, you know, Mr. Wesley says that when you use quotation marks, you're supposed to do this and this. I just multiplied myself. The kids teaching another kid what I taught them. So I didn't have to teach that kid that again. I didn't have to spend time in a conference with the kid because the other kid shared what they learned. So that was where it was a big aha moment. I can change the writing process because ultimately when we were getting them to write and then edit it and they would have to go back and make the final copy, I'm still getting the same output, but I'm getting more and I'm getting better and my conversations are running deeper with these kids about the craft of writing.
It really changes it to where I have to write, to where I get to write. Just like that student you were talking about using the quotation marks. They're getting to write. They're wanting to do those, and it makes it exciting. And speaking of exciting things, I heard there's this program out there called We Will Write. Uh-huh. Now, I haven't really dug into it a lot. I've heard it's a gamified writing platform.
Oh my God.
I've also heard you're really good at it. So what is this thing about?
Okay. So We Will Write, it was one of the platforms that came across my path in the last 3 years. And I was like, oh, that was kind of fun. I experienced it first as an adult. You know, Joe and Kristen Merrill were presenting and they said, okay, we're going to play this game. And I just love this game. And then they played it. So what it is that, you know, let me go ahead and pull up my screen and share my screen with you. For those of you who are watching that here's the screen. It'll help. All right. We Will Write was a gamify platform that we tried out. And what it is that this is like the main dashboard where you have these visual images of what you're going to be writing about. And when you're using an image, your accessibility, I mean, just think of anybody can access that, you know, your bilingual students can look at the picture and, you know, come up with a story on the picture. So basically it's a graphic image of some kind that you can write stories on. Now there are 10 free, each month and they rotate and change and then you can try. And then sometimes if it says it's about this, I'll just say, look at the picture. This is what we're going to compete about today. So when the kids all sign into the game, you know, there are like rounds. And here's an example of one of the rounds. It has 3 different activities. And I can check those activities. If I want to just do 2, I could just check 2. I can adjust the time by 30 seconds on both ends as well. And then this first, they come in order. So they're rounds. Now, the way it works is that if the kids need some help, they can click on these dots over here on the side and it'll give them some, you know, ideas about what they could write about. So once it starts, this game is amazing because as soon as the game starts, the kids are like, clickety, 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 clickety. All you hear for the next 45 minutes, 30 minutes, 25 minutes, however long you do it, is the clicking and clacking of their little fingers, no matter what grade, second grade, third grade, fourth grade, fifth grade, all the same. So we would launch it. And I would pick which activity I want them to do. They log in just like they would log in to another game like Kahoot or quizzes. They just put in the code. So they don't have to log in with their Google identification. They all get in there and then the game begins. It anonymously splits them into different teams, depending on how many kids are in there. So they know if there are a buck or a bull or a lion, but they don't know who's on their team because it doesn't tell them. So the object is as a team, they're going to write about the pitcher and the prompt, and then they are going to, whoever on their team they vote to have be the best writer is going to go forward. So as they're typing in this white box here, you can see that they counts the words that they're typing. And each time they type a character or word, it adds the number. So it's kind of like that clown game where you're filling the clown game's mouth with the water gun to pop the balloon. So they can see that in the competition as well, how many words are written. And then they keep writing. At the end of the round, they get to vote on which person on their team is the person they want to go forward, to represent them, to be the team winner, and to win the whole competition. So already, we already have one winner. And then the team goes forward with whoever they pick. And then you go into another round where you find the class winner. So each winner from each team goes into the final round. So you have lots of winners that are labeled here. And people are excited. And they keep it anonymous and they don't tell who wrote what. You know, a lot of times the kids will say, oh, that was mine. But I say, no, don't tell anybody. We're just going to go forward. So it just creates that excitement. You know, that's how I would position this in my classroom, is just creating the excitement for the kids. And it gives you all the data and what each kid wrote. And you can see who won the round. You can even create your own sets when you have a subscription to it. And because there's no AI involved, it's one of the least, less expensive ones for the year, actually. So that's great. And that gets kids all excited. But where I do my teaching and my grand slamming is in Book Creator.
You've come from, we're writing on a paper, we're writing on that paper that I haven't seen in years, to where we're playing this gamified version, but it's just not gamified. Students are peer reviewing each other and seeing who's the better writer and who has the better thoughts. And now I feel like, especially with that peer review, other students are going to learn from that. And now you've made it into a gamified version where they're winning something. They've maybe got a trophy.
It creates that vibe and that excitement, and they belong. You know, you belong to a team. You belong to the class. You're working together. You're seeing other ideas, and it's, of course you might have some meltdowns, but that's all class management. And it's like the good sportsmanship and all the other lessons that we teach with the many hats that as educators we wear, to keep that level of excitement. It's just one of the most exciting things. And the developers and the creators of the game have really used the game science, and they have put it together to where it works for kids. And it's one of the few platforms that has the same outcome every time, no matter what class I'm in.
And now you're really bringing that writing energy that I love. That's just, it's incredible. And speaking of writing energy, tell us about this Book Creator. I know we've got some things we've got planned to talk about, but I want to go ahead and start diving into that. Tell me about this Book Creator, because I feel like We Will Write and then adding that on to Book Creator is just a good smooth transition, not just for our conversation, but for in the classroom as well.
Right. Because like one of my big things in Book Creator is that I can share a child's work in a link. And I can collect all those links and share it as a class set. You know, kids can read each other's books. I can put it into like a library of these books. There's so many opportunities in Book Creator. But one of my favorite things is you get them excited with the We Will Write. And just an example of the level of excitement that had created for one student who was a reluctant writer for the entire second grade, she experienced that halfway through her third grade year. And then since then, what happened was she wrote like 3 pages of college ruled text with tiny font. It excited her so much that she became a writer. So what do we do with that? We come up with these showcases. So for Book Creator, one of the things is that a lot of people may not think of using, but in Book Creator, you can, create books. It has Adobe mixed in there. So you can do the generative image with Adobe Express to create your own images. And like this was a project where we wanted the children to write a book and do research. And there were all these other elements, many of which were paper, that were put together during that process You know, like in Book Creator, I can turn off the images so they can put in all their information. And then when they hit a certain point, I can turn on the images or ship them over into a library where the images were turned on so that they could continue their work on this book. So this was a book that a child made. But before we made a book, we talked about publishing. What does it take about publishing? When you publish a book, what does that mean? What happens in that process? Do you think you just write the first time and then it's automatically a book? No. And, you know, picking books off the shelves of different books that had been read. And it's like, that's not how it works. The kids will go, yeah, you got to go back and you got to edit it. Yeah. And you know, it's like, that's right. I wouldn't want anybody to put a work on there for everyone to see if it didn't have, you know, capital letters in the beginning of a sentence, or if the I for I was not capitalized. So, you know, they have an editor, and this is what an editor does, and explain that. And they're like, oh, okay. And it's like, well, with Book Creator, guess what? There's an editor who is involved in this process, but you can publish your books to the world. And they're like, what? To the world? I said, yes, but you have to pass the mean, grumpy publisher first. So I set up the environment where if you come back to me and you need a period, be gone with you. Go to the end of the line, because, you know, every time you have a writing conference, there's 10 kids in line. I don't want kids in line. I want kids writing. So they would be in line, had to go to the end of the line. So, okay. So then they're going to try a little bit harder with their periods and capital letters, same thing, end of the line. So those two are my requirements. But if you get your book done correctly and you have all the things that you're supposed to have, we'll publish it. So in this example, this was an example about a published book. Riley was one of our first publishers. So this globe here means that the book's published. Now, once the book is published, the children can click on that. And when they click on it, it gives them a map. And it's a global map. It's basically Google Maps. And as the book is read, it pinpoints where that book has been read in the world. So the first night I sent a letter to home to the parents, hey, you know, we'd like to honor Riley and share her work. Is that okay? And they said, yes. And we published it just, you know, because I had big plans for this. That's why I made sure parents signed off on the permission. So she did that. And the next day she comes back and I show everybody, look, everybody, she had her book read 12 times in 2 different countries. And look, we could zoom in and see exactly where they were. And wow, 6 people in Virginia Beach. Who do you know in Houston? But starting to create the buzz. So, of course, if you want to make a point, you blow things up. And I put it up on the internet, and Farmer Fobbs was with Book Creator at the time. And she said, I saw that book. I'm going to go read it right now and forward it out to as many people, because I wanted the kids to see that they had the power, that their work was going to be seen, not just by the audience of one, which is me, not just by their family, but by everybody. So the next day in comes a message from Farmer Fobbs. She used a book in Book Creator and basically said, wow, Riley, that's a great book you have there. So at the end of day 2, we're up to 44 reads. We're viral at this point for a second grader. And you can see the 20 in the United Kingdom. That's the Book Creator Mafia. That's what I call them, because they all shared it and they read it. But it's moving out, Norway or Germany, and then Canada, more reads up there. So think of yourself as a 7-year-old seeing this map grow in just 2 days to that many people reading your book. That's powerful. It shows you with the little milestones pop up every time. New milestone, 20 reads. Your book's been read in the United Kingdom, the Czech Republic, Russian Federation, Indonesia, Canada. How exciting is that? Day 3 comes around. 60 reads, 8 countries. And I'm in that classroom as a specialist going, hey, guys, by the way, guess what? In so-and-so's class, I put it on the morning news. And I would show the adventure to the whole building. Why stop at just the class? So by day 4, you know, she has up to 80 reads in 9 countries. But in January of that year, 273 reads. But we're still going at, right now she's at like 311 reads as of this recording here. But as of April 23rd, she was at 305 reads. So as a student sitting in a class, seeing that on the morning news and knowing that this can happen to you, what are you thinking? Are you thinking you want to write?
They now they have the energy where they want to write. It's not I have to. It's I want to do it. I want to publish it. I want to share it. And it even goes back to our previous episode together, Michael, that power of a link, that not just sharing with parents, but we can see that power to share across the world. And it's a student's writing that they probably never thought that the writing would matter, but it does matter. And it continues to for them to want to grow and make their learning more fun for them.
Well, yeah, because what's the normal process? The normal process is they go through the editing process over and over, and then they copy it over for the final draft if they are using paper pencil. And then what they do is it goes in a bag and it goes home with the teacher. And then how many days is it going to be before they see any feedback? But if it's more than 5 minutes, it's out of their head. So they're done. They're through with their writing, and they've already moved on. So this is like real time feedback, and it was a joyful project. And as a teacher, I want to experience as much joy as possible when I'm teaching. I don't want to fight kids to write. So as you can see, the evolution from Padlet to Book Creator, and you know, Adobe Express being incorporated in there to make the imagery just, you know, because they had images of whatever they wanted, because a lot of the slopsters were generated from Riley's prompting. So that was just exciting all around. And what the kids learned is so valuable to me.
Yeah. And continuing to break down those walls where it's just not in the classroom. It's always thinking the bigger picture. And this really translates to outside the classroom. Now, Michael, before we start wrapping up this episode, what is one thing that a teacher could take today? Now, we've talked about WeWillWrite. We've talked about Padlet. We've talked about Book Creator. What is one thing that they can take today from our conversation and really implement that tomorrow for their students' learning?
Well, I would say WeWillWrite. If you have access to WeWillWrite and you can do that, see the power for yourself. Because once you go through once, there's going to be two things that will happen in your classroom after 25, 35, 45 minutes of silence. And I have gone up to an hour because it was in demand. At the end, when you are finished with your round, whether it's three or four, two activities, there will be a child, I guarantee you, and I'm willing to put money on it. And I don't have a lot of money because I'm a teacher, right? But there will be a child that will say, can we do another? And when you answer no, because the time's up, you know, we don't have enough time in the day. When the answer is no, there will be a follow-up, I guarantee it, of when can we do it again? So if you're going to take one thing, try that WeWillWrite. It's so easy. You just pick what you want. There's 10 free. If you don't like what it is asking the kids to write about, but you like the pictures that are there, have them write something about the pictures and ignore the text if you have to for the littles, if that's not the direction you want to go. And try it. Experience it. And you'll see they love it. You'll have joy. And you're going to want to do it again.
Yeah, and really when students start to care about their writing and they can see how it progresses through everything and just have that joy, then it not just makes it fun for them, but it makes our work as teachers easier to continue to support them and continue to see them grow. So that's it. One move. Try it tomorrow. And I'd love to hear what you have to say about it. So thanks, Michael. We'll talk soon.
Thank you for joining us today on the Tech Flush podcast. Stay tech savvy, keep those gadgets charged, and remember, teachers and technology go hand in hand, connecting students to a world of knowledge for an electrifying learning experience. Don't forget to like, subscribe, and spread the word about the Tech Flush to your friends. Catch all episodes on Apple Podcasts. See you next time on the Tech Flush.